You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Benjamin Linus. I'm instructor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and I work at Massachusetts General Hospital and the Division of Infectious Disease. This is a project looking at eligibility criteria for state AIDS drug assistance programs, or ADAPs. ADAPs provide ART to patients who have no other access to care, and historically many ADAPs have not been able to meet all the demand for services due to budget constraints. And in the past, when ADAPs have been forced to restrict care, they usually open up a wait list on a first-come, first-served basis. So any patient who's clinically eligible for ART is eligible for the program, and if there's not enough room, people enter the wait list as they apply to the program. And we started working with the Massachusetts program a couple of years ago to plan for if Massachusetts should need to have a wait list, which fortunately it has not needed to date, how they should do that, on the theory that maybe we have more success prioritizing patients based on their stage of disease as opposed to on a first-come, first-served basis. So what we did for this project is we used the administrative data set from the Massachusetts ADAP, and we built a mathematical model or a simulation of an ADAP program. So what the model did, it would go to the ADAP data set and create patients, hypothetical patients, that were based on real people with an age and a sex and a CD4 count. And then what the model would do is it would check and say, based on your CD4 count, are you eligible for this program? And if your CD4 was above the eligibility, then you would enter a simulation of HIV not receiving ART. So your CD4 would fall and you'd have a risk of opportunistic infections. And when your CD4 reached the threshold level, then you could come back and apply to the program. If your CD4 was below the threshold, then the model would look and see if there was room for you and if there's capacity available in the program. And if there wasn't, then you had to enter a wait list of care until room became available, and then you would move into the program. And then people in the program, they moved through a simulation of their disease with ART. So they had suppressed viral loads and their CD4s went up instead of down. And doing that, we tracked what the outcomes would be over the course of 5 years. And what we found was that the strategies that prioritized people based on their CD4 count consistently had better outcomes than the strategy that put people on a wait list on a first-come, first-served basis. So there was a lower rate of mortality, there was a lower rate of first opportunistic infections and death in every permutation that we tried. If we had more demand, if we had lower CD4 counts of the applicant pool, more men, more women, faster rates of disease, slower rates of disease, consistently the CD4-based strategy had better outcomes. And it did it by minimizing the time that people with very low CD4s waited for ART. So I think the take-home message from this is by far that the best way to improve outcomes is to fund your ADAP at 100% of capacity so that you can provide ART to everybody who should be on ART. Fortunately, right now, ADAPs are able to do that, although there's some concern for the immediate future with the current fiscal situation and budget cuts coming. If programs are at the point where they're forced to open a wait list, then I think that they can have better outcomes if they go with the approach of prioritizing people based on their CD4 count instead of relying on this tried and true first come, first served approach.
The question that immediately pops to mind is, why isn't this just good medical sense? I mean, if the people most in dire need for it should get it, I mean, it just makes sense.
I agree. I think it makes medical sense, and it's sort of a paradigm that's used in other resource allocation settings. So, for example, livers for transplant are definitely allocated based on need and stage of disease. I think that why it hasn't been thus far, I think there's two reasons. First, there's an administrative cost to doing this. So somebody's going to need to track CD4s. Programs are going to have validated and good mechanisms for collecting that information, which they don't have now. And that is a cost and could be difficult. And I think there's on the surface a certain fairness to first come, first served. It seems that, you know, well, you show up and if there's room, we'll take you. And if there's not, then you'll have to wait, just like everybody else who has to wait. But the truth is that you're not doing the most with your resources that you could be doing. And further, knowing that, you know, people from historically disadvantaged groups, people of color and uninsured people, often present to care later. And so while this project doesn't directly look at this in any sort of quantitative sense, one can imagine that people who are going to present to care later and have to wait longer are people who might be from disadvantaged groups historically. So I think that there's potentially sort of an equity kind of outcome to this as well.
Right. Plus, people have died waiting on these lists in the South.
Yeah, people have. Fortunately, as of today, there's no wait list. But the reason is because a few people did die on wait lists in the South, and that prompted some emergency legislation to sort of stopgap funding. Any state that had a wait list on the day the legislation passed received excess funds. So that, in combination with Medicare Part D, has helped to unload some of the burden on ADAPs. But, you know, I think that, unfortunately, everyone's nervous for the coming couple of months.
Uh-huh. So is your study being taken in consideration by other ADAPs who are in much more dire need?
Right. I don't know. I can't say. I hope. That's our goal. I know that we did it in conjunction with Massachusetts, and Massachusetts feels that should it need to open a wait list, it's going to go to a CD4-based approach, as we demonstrated. I've talked with Rhode Island in the past, although it's been a little while since I've spoken to them, so I don't know what their plans are. I hope that people will see this paper and it will have some impact, but that's sort of always the goal when you do policy research.
Has this paper been published?
It's currently in manuscript form, but it's not been published yet.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.